The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Toldos. In the middle of the parsha, Perichov Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi ki zoken Yitzchok vatichena inov mereis. Yitzchok became old, and his eyes became weak from seeing. Vayikroy es Esav b'nei hagodol, and he called Esav his oldest son. Vayimei lov b'ni, vayimei lov hineni, vayimei hinei no zakanti. And he said, I am now old. Lo yadati yom nasi, and I do not know the day of my death. And then he tells Esav to go out and to get together all of his hunting weapons, and he should go out and catch an animal for him, lasiri matamim, and make me good things to eat. In order that I will be able to bless you before I die. And then we go on to the story where Rivka saves the day and she steps in and sends in Yaakov instead. We've many times gone through that whole explanation of the whole story. We're not going to go into that this evening, but rather dwell on a few points. Now the first point is that Yitzchok now decided to bless his sons, and Esav was the oldest, and therefore he would give these brochas to Esav. These were the brochas which he received from his father Avraham. These were the brochas which Hashem gave to, well, actually he received them from Avraham, or he received them via HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these are the brochas which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham a number of times by the Akedah when he was prepared to sacrifice Yitzchok and so forth. And the question is asked, why at this particular point did he decide to be Mavorech, to bless Yitzchok? To bless Esav, thank you. So it states here because he said, "Lo yodati yamosi." I don't know but the day of my death. In other words, im le'achshav emosai. If not now, then when? And Rashi brings, why was it now? So he brings the medrash that states, "Omer Bishua ben Kochay, imagio odim leperach haveisov." When a person comes to the age of his parents, yidag, he should start worrying. Chomesh shonim lefnehem, bechomesh la'achar kein. 5 years before that age, and 5 years afterwards. Yitzchok hoye ben kuf chomer gimel. Yitzchok was 123 years now. Omar, he said, shema leperek imi ani magia. Maybe I'll only live to the age of my mother, Sora, Vibas Kuvchov Zayin, and she lived 127. And Paharini ben Heishonim Somach Lepirko, now I'm 5 years before. Fichoch Leyadati Meisi, therefore, I do not know the day of my death. Shema Leperek Imi, Shema Leperek Amo, Abba, maybe I'll reach my mother's age, maybe my father's age. The Medrash clarifies a little more. The Medrash says Avraham, he lived to 175. And Esav at this time was 120. Excuse me, Yitzchok at this time was 123. So he said, if I live to my father's age, 175, then I have many, many years ahead. But if I live to my mother's age, and she lived 127 years, as it states in the beginning of Chayei Sora, then I have to start worrying. Maybe my time has come, and I have to put everything in order. Therefore, I want to give you the brocha now. Actually, there's something that I do not quite understand here, because the Medrash says that one should be concerned 5 years before and 5 years after. If Yitzchok was 123 and his mother Sarah died at 127, it actually works out 4 years before. It's not 5 years before. So this is something which I do not understand totally. At any rate, so therefore it came time for him now to give over the brochas, and he called in Esav, his oldest son. We see that at this time, when he gave the brochas, it was Pesach. How do we know that? Because when Rivka came and she said to Yaakov, you go and disguise yourself and you take the brochas instead, and I will give you what to bring to Yaakov, to Yitzchok to eat. Kachli Mishom, this is in Pasuk Cheskas, Kachli Mishom Shnei Gedoye Izim Dovim, take two good goats, and make them, I will make them into something good for your father, Kashor Eiv, like he loves. So the Chazal tell us, and Rashi brings, did he always eat two goats? That day was Pesach. He wanted one where he could bring as a sacrifice to Hashem as the Korban Pesach. The obvious fulfilled the Torah before it was given. And the other, he ate. And this Rashi brings from Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. So we see that it was Pesach. We can ask a question. Why is it that he chose to give the brachas to Esav, on Pesach? Did it happen that this day was Pesach? And that we can give a very good answer. Because when the Malachim came, the angels, to visit Avraham, this was in Parshas Vayera, they told Avraham, and then it was also Pesach. And the Chazal tells us this. And one way we see it is because immediately afterwards they went to the house of Lot, and Lot fed them matzahs. And Rashi brings Pesach Oyo. And they told Avraham, and this is in Bereishis Yud Ches, Posuk Yud, Vayeme Shev Oshub Elecha Ko Es Chayo. We will return to you, I will return to you, Ko Es Chayo, at the same time next year, be it a good year in life, and there will be a son to sorry your wife. So they prophesied that at the next time, next year, at the same time, I will return to you. And they came on Pesach, which means that Yitzchok was born on Pesach. And this is what the Chazal tell us. Now, since we brought that the Midah Tova, the what a person should do is that when he reaches 5 years before the death of his parents, he has to start to be concerned when he will die. And Yitzchok decided that this he'll do when he's 123 years old. Zrizi Magdimin LaMitzvahs. Yitzchok was not someone that's going to put off important matters. So right on his birthday, when he reached that year, he said, now's the time that I have to be concerned, and let me immediately give over the brochas, bless my sons. So that's how it came out, that it should be actually on Pesach. The Medrash brings to us on this, the Medrash Rabbah, that we lo yadati Hashem Aishi, I do not know the day of my death. This is something which is beyond a person. We see even someone as great as Yitzchok, he could not conceive when the day of his death would be. And the Medrash brings Toni. We learned in the Braiso, Shiva Dvorim Mechusim Im Neodim. There are actually seven important things which are concealed from a person. The Elohim. These are the Yem HaMiso, the day of a person's death. Yem HaNachoma, if a person has a great sorrow, heaven forbid, he's an Avelus, something else that makes him very sad, very depressed, and he needs something to bring him comfort. He needs something to bring him comfort. He never knows just when that comfort is going to come. The fact is, when a person is in such a sorrow, he never really understands how he'll come out of that sorrow, out of that great problem. He never knows just when or where that comfort is going to come from. The Medrash says this is concealed from the person. Eima Kadin, a third thing which is concealed from the person, is the Midas Hadin, judgment. When it comes to judging people, there's a litigation. We have what's known in the Torah as Ela HaMishpotim. These are the judgments which I place before you. The depth of that judgment is so great that this is concealed from the person. This is why it will take the greatest dayonim, the greatest judges, to give over a good deen. Ein adam yodea b'meh hu mistaker. A person never knows from where he's going to make some money, where his panos is coming from. Many times we feel this is a good investment, but sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't work. Sometimes we feel this is the right investment and we don't make money there, but we make money from another place and we never expected it to come. A person never knows from where his panos is coming from. A person never knows what another person is thinking about him. That is concealed from him. And a person doesn't know what is in the womb of his wife. There were some that thought this might mean Zohar Nekeva, male or female. But today we can find out. Now what it means is Tzadik Orosho, Chochom Otipish. When a person is born later on, you can see what his qualities will be. But before he's born, when he's in the womb of a woman, there is no way you can tell what his qualities will be. Umalchus Arashoim Aisai Nofeles. And also the Malchus Arashoah, this is the fourth Malchus, the Malchus of Esav. The empire of Esav, which is the Edom, the Roman Empire, there it's concealed from people when that will fall. Chazal tell us that there are four empires. Each one will try to conquer the world and conquer Klal Yisrael. And the first one was Babel. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And the second one was Modai Oparas. This was the Persian Median Empire. This was the Purim story. And the next one was Yovan, the Greek Empire. And then there was the story of Hanukkah. And then there was the Roman Empire, which destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, and we are still in their golus. We are still in their exile. And they will only fall at the time of the Melech HaMashiach. When? This is concealed from a person. Now the Medrash Rabbah brings a posuk on each of the seven. Firstly it brings Yem HaMiso. How do we know that the day of a death is concealed from a person? Because Shlomo HaMelech writes in Kehelas Tes Posuk Yud Beis Ki Gam Lo Yeda Ha'odem Es Itay, that a person will not know his time. Yem HaNechoma, how do we know the day of comfort? Ani Hashem Bi'ito Achishemo, It states at the end of Yeshayahu Samech, Posukhof Beis, that I am Hashem, Be'ito Achishena, and I will bring comfort to you. Only I can bring that comfort, and I can bring that comfort at the time that I want to. The Emek Hadin, the depth of the Mishpat, of the judgment, this is in the Vorim Aleph, Posuk Yud Zayin, HaMishpat Ki HaMishpat Lelekim Hu. There's true judgment that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person doesn't know from where he will make money. In Keheles Gimel, Posuk Yud Gimel, it states, Gam kol odem asher noson le'elekim esher unechosin bishlito le'echol mimenu v'lo aseh yisheskelke v'lishmeach ba'amolei. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave wealth to people. He gave them good things. Mitas, matas elekim hu. This is all from HaKodesh Baruch Hu. He is in charge of it. Ein orim yedea ma b'libi shel chaver. A person doesn't know what's in the heart of his fellow man. And Yirmiyahu perek yud zayin posuk yud, it states, Ani Hashem cheke lev. I am Hashem who sees into the hearts of people. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees into the hearts of people, not others. A person doesn't know what's in the womb of his wife. In Keheles Yud Aleph, Pasuk Hey, it states, Kasher Einchu Yodea Maderech HaRuach. Just like one doesn't know which way the wind is going to blow. Katzomim Baveten Hamaleo. So he does not know what is being carried in the full womb. Umalchus Arashoy Mosai Neveles. And he doesn't know when the last kingdom, when the kingdom of Esav will fall. It states, Ki yeim nokon belibi, Yeshayo Samach Gimel Dalet, that the day of revenge is with me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. That I will determine. So these are seven great things which are concealed from a person. The Gemara, Agamor Emsochim also brings this. In Perek Mokim Shenogu, and of Nun Dalet Amud Beis. But it doesn't bring the Psukim on them, like the Medrash. It brings it with one major difference, though. The expressions might be slightly different, but it brings with one major difference. It doesn't bring what we said, Eironim Yedea, Mashabi Burashilisha, that one does not know what is in the womb of his wife. That one it omits. And instead of that one, it says that a person doesn't know Umalchus Beis Dovid Masai Tachzor, when the kingship of David HaMelech will return. So the last two that it brings is Malchus Beis David Mosai Tachzor, when the kingship of David HaMelech will return. Umalchus Chayeves Mosai Tichle, that's the fourth kingdom, according to Esav, we do not know when that will fall. The Maral Miprag, he gives an explanation in these. He's going not on the Medrash, but on the Gemara. And he explains these as follows. Actually, he gives an explanation on each one except one. And that's Einorim Yedea Mashal Libei Shel Chaveiro, that we do not know what's in our fellow man's heart. That one he doesn't explain. He explains these as follows. He says, Yema Miso, why is it? See, why is it? We know so much. And we are given so much intelligence. This is in Netzach Yisrael, Perek Yud Ches. We're given so much intelligence. Why is it that these things we cannot comprehend? These things we cannot manage to understand. See, he says, Yema Miso, the day of one's death. Because this is something which is totally beyond the scope of a human being. Because this is the antithesis of the human being. Death is heder. Death is the lack of existence, the lack of life. Well, the human being, he is the metzius ha-chayim. He is the essence of life. So the two hafechim, they are totally contrary to each other. We live, and our whole consciousness is bound to a world of life. And therefore, in no way can we penetrate a world which is totally the lack of life. And we have no tfisa, we have no concept in this. Our human intelligence can have no concept or connection to this. And that's why the Yom HaMisho, the day of a person's death, he cannot penetrate, he cannot foresee. The Yom HaNachoma, the day of a comfort, this is similar, except just the opposite. When a person is in a tzora, when he's in a great tzora, so this is also like he's in a situation which is a situation of absence to what he needs. A total absence, a total abyss of what he needs. The Nechoma comes and fills that void. And when one is in that total abyss and total absence, that void comes from beyond him. Excuse me, that what fills the void comes from beyond him. It's not coming from within him, but it's coming from beyond him. And therefore, that's something which he cannot penetrate. Eimek ha-din, the depth of din. When it comes to the mishpat ha-din, there's a litigation between two people. Shnayim ha-ksim ha-talis, two are holding onto the talis. Eimek kuli shali, eimek kuli shali. This one says it's mine, this one says it's mine, and so forth. The deen, the mishpat, is known as the yosher, which is exactly upright. It cannot be an atiyah liyamin or smol. It cannot lean towards the right, and it cannot lean towards the left. This is we have in the parshas of the Dayonim in many places in the Torah, where it states, for example, Ein barach min bedin. The Dayonim are not allowed to favor any party, whether they are wealthy or poor. They are not allowed to show, to let their emotions influence the deen. They cannot have compassion to influence the deen, or they cannot show anger or revenge to influence the deen. Because the deen, the mishpat, must be perfect. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved in the creation. There are other midas, there are other qualities that do not have to be perfect. For example, when it comes to rachamim, you want to have compassion on someone. You can have a little more, you can have a little less. It's not going to throw off the whole world. When it comes to give tzedakah to someone, you can give them a little more, you can give them a little less. It's all in the mitzvah of tzedakah. But when it comes to deciding what belongs to Reuven and what belongs to Shimon, you can't say you can give Reuven a little more or Shimon a little less. If you give a little more, that's a kilkol hadin. That's a corruption of the mishpat. If you give a little less, that's corruption of the mishpat. So the din must be perfect. And that's why it states ki amishpat lelakim hu. The ultimate in din and mishpat can only be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The person cannot come to the ultimate of the mishpat, because it's what the Maral refers to as the Seichel HaGomor. It's the ultimate in perfect intelligence, perfect intellect. And this we cannot come to, because We are intellectual and intelligent beings in a physical body. And therefore we can never come to that level. The heart, with all of its good intentions, influences the sechel, influences the ultimate intelligence of the person. And we cannot separate our sechel from the lave totally. So therefore, Amishpat Lelekim belongs to Hashem, not to us. This is why, incidentally, that he explains that in the Parshas Yisro, with the Dayomim, Moshe was very, very adamant to judge the people himself. Yisro had to convince him that he should appoint other Dayonim also, because Novel Tibel, he'll never be able to do the whole job himself. But why was Moshe so adamant? He couldn't think of that. So the answer was, is because Moshe realized what the din was, what the mishpat was. And Moshe was known as Ish Elakim. Elakim, that's the word for mishpat. He had come to that level closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than anyone else. And he knew that if he would delegate anyone, the level of the mishpat would fall. And therefore he was adamant not to do it. It was only when Yisro came and he said, come, we'll ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed, then Moshe did it. Because novel tibol, because it's impossible to have that level of mishpat in the world with only Moshe Rabbeinu. See, we have to have other Dayonim also. So this is why this is beyond the scope of human intelligence. Then we have Bamei Mishtaker. A person doesn't know from where he's going to make his money. Why is this? Why is it always such a great riddle to the person? Where am I going to make money? Will this be successful? Will this not be successful? Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees it, but why can't we have some type of conception in it beforehand? The answer here also is similar to what we said before, because this, that a person makes money, this is his panoso. Panoso is the kium of the person. Panoso is what gives, panoso is what sustains the person. A person is chayim, he has life. But the person does not have kiyum, he does not sustain his life. This is a very important principle. A person was given life, and now he has life inside of himself. But the power to sustain this life, this was not given to the Odom. He does not have power to sustain his own life. Regardless of what maybe certain kafirim, atheists might say, the person was not given the power to sustain that life. He was given chayim, but not kiyum. Life he was given, but not the power to sustain it. That power to sustain it comes from beyond the person. And that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the person the breath of life, but it cannot sustain itself. And that's what we see. We have to constantly come on to Panos. We need air to breathe. We need food to eat. We need water to drink. We constantly have to bring in to ourselves everything that a human being needs in order to give kiyum, in order to give sustenance, in order to sustain that life. It would be similar, and forbid that if you have a person who's on a machine, so the machine is sustaining him. Now, that kiyum does not come from within, it comes from without, and it comes only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only he is the one who sustains life. And that's why the Gemara brings in Psochim, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Omer Aleph, It states, Loma Nikra Halel Hagodl. We have a tefillah that we say on Shabbos in the Psuki de Zimra, the Ki Le'alom Chastois. Hold the Lashem Ki Tov, Ki Le'alom Chastois. And the Chazal called that the Halel Hagodl, the great Halel. The Gemara says, why is that called Halel Hagodl? Because it leads up, it's 26 times as mentioned, Ki Le'alom Chastoi, and it leads up to finally the last two, which say, Nesein Lechem Lechol Bosor Ki Le'alom Chastoi, he is the one who gives bread to all flesh, Hodu Lekel Hashemai, and then we praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is in the heavens. That refers also to the fact that he is the one who gives the bread to all flesh, Ki Le'alom Chastoi. So since it leads up to the Madrega, to the level that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Parnoso to everyone, this is why it's called Halel HaGodl, the great Halel, because that is the highest level that we have in the world. Why is that the highest level that we have in the world? Because from there comes the sustenance of the life in the world. The Gemara says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeshiv Berumei Shaleilam, this refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu who sits at the highest point in the world, U'mechalek Mozen L'chol Beria, and he gives out the proper sustenance to each creature. So he created a world. But after he created the world cannot sustain itself. He did not give that power to the world. That only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. And this is what he does. He sustains all life in this world. And that's what that Ki Le'alom Chastoi, that Tfila refers to. Therefore it's called Halel HaGodl. And this is why also it's brought in the Gemara in the beginning of Masechta Tainus. It states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mafteach of Geshem, which the Gemara says is Parnoso, the rains. This is a Mafteach, the key to the rains, which is Parnoso. He never gives to a Malach, he never gives to anyone. He himself takes care of it. Because they cannot sustain a world. They cannot sustain a world because they need sustenance themselves. This, the ultimate sustenance for the world can only come from the ultimate source of the life. And it has to come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's coming from such a high level, which is far beyond us and something that we have no quality to do. Therefore, we cannot have any penetration or conception of what it is. So therefore, Apanoso is concealed from us. That the person doesn't know Me'ezer Mokom Yistaker, from which place he will make his money. Therefore, he has to use the best seichel that he has, and he has to work, but then places trust in his feelers in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us success. Then he referred, Mosai Tachse Malchus Beis David, when will the empire of David HaMelech return? Now that is something which he also writes, is something which is beyond the level of this world. The last two, when will the Beis David, the kingship of David HaMelech return, which is basically the Melech HaMashiach, which is the seed of David, and when will Malchus Revis Mosai Tibel, and when will the empire of Esau fall? This is referring to the days of the Mashiach. And the days of the Mashiach is a level which is far greater than the level of this world. And because it's a level which is beyond the level of this world, we have no penetration or conception into it. And this is why we do not know when that day will be. We see that even in the Bayis Sheni, when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, the Malchus Beis David, the kingship of the house of David, did not return to it. It's even a higher level than that. And it will be the Malchus Beis David the Chazal tell us, that will destroy the Malchus Edom, the kingship of Esav, and then bring in the days of perfection of the Yemei HaMashiach. And on that the Gemara says that the kingship of Esav, the power of Esav, is so great that this is something also that we cannot conceive. It's beyond us. And Pinky the Blazer writes that this is in next week's Parsha, in Parsha's Vayetze, that when Yaakov went to sleep at Beis El, and he had a dream, and he saw a ladder going up and down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu there showed him the four Malchiyos, the four empires. He showed them the Malochim, the angels of the four empires. And he saw on each one they went up so many rungs, and then they fell. Some went up very high, some didn't go up so high. When it came to the fourth empire, Esav, he saw him go up, and he never saw him come down. And he became terrified. This means that Esav will never come down. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Al tiro, do not fear, Yaakov. Ani eridom, I will bring him down. Even if he'll go up as high as the Nesher, as the eagle, I will bring him down. So the Chazal learned from there two things. First of all, it was concealed even from Yaakov Avinu. And secondly, Yaakov himself couldn't bring him down. Ani HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring him down. This is the power that was given to that empire. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring him down through his servant, the Melech HaMashiach, that will be from the seed of David HaMelech. So that is why we cannot know when this will happen. This is why the Maral brings that one shouldn't be meyayish, he shouldn't despair from the Arichas HaGolus, the length of this Golus, the longest exile, because we are dealing with a Malchus. This is the whole Western culture. We are dealing with a Malchus which reaches enormous heights of power. Incidentally, from here is a Teichecha Magula. From here we see very clearly, this is a rebuke, an open rebuke to those who are all of the time in Cheshvi Besa Ketz. They are always predicting when the Ketz is coming. All through the generations we've had all types of people, big people, small people, and so forth and so on, that always want to predict when the Mashiach is coming, when Esav will fall, say, when David HaMelech is coming. And in the eyes of the Chazal HaEmes, the charlatans, see, they are fakes. It's totally connected Chazal. Because here the Gemara says, Zayin Dvorim Achusim Min Odom. There are seven things which are concealed from a person. Just like a person cannot predict the day of his death, or the day of your death. It says he cannot predict when Mosai talks or Malchus Beis David, when Beis David will come back, or Mosai when this empire will fall. And this is in all of Chazal. The Rambam writes, he says, the Rambam, when he wants to describe what will be in the days of the Mashiach, he gives a few guidelines, but he says, don't go into the details, because nobody knows the details. It's a world which is beyond us. He says, if people tell you the details, he says, nah. He says, they're frauds. He brings the Chazal, Cheshvei, Ketz, says, Tipesh Ruchai. Chazal put actually a klola, and people are always saying when the Ketz come, when it's coming. So this is a Teichecha Magula. And they pop up all of the time, these people. Now they're popping up again with all kind of the millennium and this and that. And not only that, now with computers, we think we're more intelligent. We've got computers, so we can calculate with all this and that, and the letters. See? Because now we have a Galen that we can do our thinking for us. The But not only that, the many times what's happened in the generations that you have these people who will predict. Many times they're misquoted. Some people will say in the name of an Odin Godel that he said kach v'kach, but they're misquoted. But many times they'll predict a certain time that he'll come. In my lifetime alone, I've heard dozens and dozens and dozens of predictions. See? And then it happens and he doesn't come. So we see he didn't come. We see it was fraud. So they'll say no. They'll say he was supposed to come. But the generation was not Zohar. See, the generation didn't merit. And that we don't need fraudsters for. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Be'ito Achishena. And the Chazal Darshan, that I will bring him any time that you merit him to come. Achishena, that word means chash, immediately. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it says, we quoted this before from Yeshayahu, who it states, Be'ito Achisheno, I will bring him in his proper time, and Achisheno. Achisheno means immediately. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean? In the proper time or immediately? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Imzocho, if you merit him, if the generation merits him, Achisheno, I'll bring him immediately. If they do not merit him, then Be'ito, then in the proper time that I decree. So what are they telling me? That he would have come at this time had the generation merited it. That I don't need the fraudsters for. See? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. The Novi, Yeshayahu, Elavayu telling me that this is the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed. We see it wasn't. That time, millions, hundreds of such times have passed, and he's never come. So don't put much energy or time into this, because the Chazal clearly tells us that this is what was concealed from the Bnei Odom, from the people. And this that we're speaking about, coming back now to our subject, that Yitzchok said, I do not know. I'm old now. And I don't know when I'm going to die. And therefore I better bless you right away. And we said, because the day of death is concealed from a person, and he has to start worrying about it 5 years before he reaches the age which his parents died in, and so forth. This is something that we do not see people do today. Don't find people 5 years before or 5 years after the date of death of their parents, they start to worry, maybe their time has come, and put their affairs in order. Why not? This we can say, two good answers. One answer is in the early days, the Chazal tell us two things. Firstly, people live very, very long, like we see. Adam HaRishon lived almost 1,000 years, 930 years. And here, which was 20-some generations after Adam HaRishon, people were also living long times, not 1,000 years, but hundreds of years. Avram lived 175 years. And here he's the Yitzchok now is of 123. So firstly, Chazal tell us, like we can see from the Torah, that people live very, very long lives. Secondly, they tell us that the generations were holchin umismaitim. Generations were living less than the previous generation. And this went on until they reached 70 years. And once they reached 70 years, then that became the norm. See, this is what the Chazal tell us. Shivim shona, chayenosh, that became the norm. So therefore, in their days, they had to worry that maybe there's the likelihood, the strong likelihood, that they will not reach the age of their parents. Because each generation was being heilichu mismayet, the longevity was getting less and less. So when they came close to the age of the parents, they have to be concerned, maybe their time has come. But once it normalized to 70 years, firstly, we know now when the average lifespan is. The normal lifespan is 70. Secondly, we don't have to be concerned that we will not reach our parents' age. Now there's no principle that the generations are holchino mismayitin. The longevity doesn't get less and less all of the time. Once it reached 70, it remained that way. So therefore, there's no longer a reason why to calculate in regards to the life of the parents, the age of the parents. But if one is to calculate, once he gets near 70 years old, then he has to start worrying. That's one answer, which is a very good answer. The only thing is, then you could say, once we're close to 70, we have to take stock. Oh, all right, very good. There's another answer perhaps we can give. And this was an answer, when we were learning this many years ago, we had one of our first talmidim was a Rabbi Yossi Hollander. And this was an answer that he gave, which is a very good one. The Gemara tells us, Gemara b'Masiya da Pesayin, the Gemara brings, in relation to the Parsha Vayechi, it states that Yaakov became sick, and when he became sick, so then he called for Yosef to come and Ephraim and Manasseh and so forth. The Gemara says the first one to become sick in the Chumash was Yaakov. Until his time, Chulshel Yod Leilam, there was not a sickness that came into the world. Yaakov came with a complaint to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, it's not right. He wasn't speaking about stomach sickness. He was speaking about a sickness that precedes death. He says it's not right that a person should die suddenly. Then he never knows when it's time to be Metzavis Bonov, to come and to instruct his children and his family, to organize his affairs. He has to have some warning. So he was mispalel that a person should not die suddenly, but first he should get sick and then die. And that's why it states by Yaakov that he became sick and then died. Also according to that, now we have warning. Before, there was no warning. So therefore one had to look for other signals. But now we have the warning. Person gets sick. And then he knows that it's time to instruct his children. So this is also another good answer on that. Another point here in this episode, that Rivka heard what was going on. She called in Yaakov and she said, you go instead. And Yaakov said in Pasuk Yud Beis, Ulai Yumisheni Yovi, V'yisi Veinov Kimisateh. Maybe though my father will feel me and he'll see that I am Yaakov and not Esav. And she said, no, don't worry. Vatikach Rivka, this was in Pasuk Tesva, Vatikach Rivka es bigde Esav b'no agor lachamudeis asherita baboys. Rivka went and she took the clothing of Esav, her oldest son, hachamudeis. Generally hachamudeis mean the very precious clothing, which was by her in the house, and she put these clothing on Yaakov, and she disguised him. Rashi brings a medrash, which states, chamudeis firstly means chamudeis shechomad, Osan mean Nimrod. Chomad also could mean that he stole them. They were very envious to him and he stole them. These were special clothing. Very special clothing. and he stole them from Nimrod. Nimrod was one of the descendants of Noach in the early generations. Asher ito babais, he was a descendant of Cush. Asher ito babais, which was by her in the house. Now the Medrash asks, "Vahalei kama noshim ha'yalei v'mafkidei tzolimai." Yitzchok, Esav had many wives. What did he have to keep the clothing for him by his mother Rivka? These were very special clothing and very precious, and he didn't want to take any chance of them being stolen. He didn't trust his wives, so therefore he kept them by his mother Rivka. Now, what were these special clothing? Rashi brings Imsochim Daf Nun Dalet Omer Beis. This is also right near the Gemara we're just speaking about, Reish Omer Beis. The Gemara says that of the things that were created, Asorah Dvorim Nivur Be'erev Shabbos Be'en Hashmoshes, of the 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos came in, one was the clothing of Adam HaRishon, the clothing of the first man. Rashi brings Shohoyu Hakukais Bei Kol Min Chayu Ubehema. On the clothing of Adam HaRishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, where was engraved a picture of every type of animal. And these clothing eventually ended up by Nimrod. And Nimrod used them for hunting. He used to go, and the animals would be attracted to them, and this is the way he would hunt them. And that's why it states Gibor Said. He was the great hunter. And Esav wanted these clothing, and he killed Nimrod, and he took them. And that's why it states by Esav Ish Said, that he was the great hunter. And these are the clothing which he kept by his mother. They were very, very precious. That's one explanation. But there are two opinions in the Medrash. The Medrash Rabbah here brings another explanation. Another opinion. Where the Medrash says, just find it. Shimon Gamliel says, these were clothing that he kept by his mother, not because he was afraid they were going to be stolen, but he would use these clothing to be Meshamesh as Oviv, that when Esav would come to serve his father, he would put on these clothing. Omer Reb Shimon Gamliel, Kol Yomai Hayishi Meshamesh as Abba VeLeShimashti Eise Echad Mimei Ashishim Eishes as Oviv. Shimon Gamliel said that all of the time when I served my father, I never served him 1/100th of the way Esav served his father. Ani b'shosho ha'yisi meshamesh as abo yisi meshamshe begodim v'begodim meluchlochrim. When I used to serve my father, so I used to serve him in clothing that were not clean. In other words, if I would cook something, I would bake something, so I'd be in the kitchen, so I didn't wear my best clothing, and then I would bring the food out to him, they were in those clothing. U'b'shosho yisi yetzel l'derech, and when I would go outside, then I would put on nice clothing. But Esav, when he served his father Yitzchok, he would put on royal garments. He would say that it's not proper to come to my father Yitzchok and to serve him without big day malchus, without these clothing. That's what it states. Asher ita babais. Why did he keep these clothing? These were big day malchus. These were royal garments. Why did he keep them in his house? In Rivka's house, he could have kept them by his wives. He kept them there, so when he would serve his father, he would put these clothing on. So from here we see a different explanation. Not that he didn't trust his wives, but he kept them there so he would be able to serve his father. And this was the great kovod, the great honor that he had for his father. And actually, this helps us to understand a bit why Yitzchok was so close to Esav. First of all, Esav was the firstborn, the eldest. But why was he so close to him? Because Esav served him in a super way. Now the question is, though, is Esav was Esav Arosho. He was the wicked Esav. Where did he become such a tzaddik here? Where he fulfills the mitzvah of Kibbur Av Ve'Em to such a level? Where Reb Shimon Gamliel said on himself, he says, I didn't give honor to my parents to a degree of 1/100 the way Esav would give honor to Yitzchok. There are many answers on this, but they're not good answers. They're not the real answers. The answer to this we find again in the Maral. In a number of places he writes in Agoras HaShas, in Kiddushin, and in Tiferes Yisrael. He says, firstly, it wasn't only Esav. He says, in general we find that all of the goyim, at least most of the goyim, were very, very careful and scrupulous in this mitzvah. And not only that, we find particularly by the seed of Esav. It was not just Esav. Where do we find this? Firstly, he says, Tova Chazi, go look in the world. Kibbur Av Ve'Em, to give honor to a father and mother, is not one of the Zayin mitzvahs, not one of the mitzvahs that the goyim of the world were commanded in. Yet we find the norm. Who doesn't honor their father or mother? I mean, from the civilized nations. We see this by Avraham Avinu. Right. Avraham gave tremendous honor to Terach. That's no kasha. Avraham fulfilled all of the mitzvahs of the Torah before it was given. But Avraham told, Rashi brings at the end of Parshas Neach, Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, that Avraham told Hashem, when Hashem said, Lech Lecho, leave your father, Avraham said, how can I leave my father? V'nimtso shem shamayim nishal al yodai. It will be a chilul Hashem to others. They'll say, look, he left his old father and he went away. He emigrated. Now Avraham wasn't saying as far as himself. He wasn't arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you leave your father, Avraham would say, all right, you tell me to leave, I'll leave you. That wasn't his concern. His concern was, Nimsa Sheshem Shamayim Nishal Al Yoda, it'll be Achil Hashem. The people will say. Now what people was he talking about? He lived amongst the Rishoyim, idolaters. What was the Achil Hashem? Yeah, there would be Achil Hashem. They would say, here Avraham, who claims he's such a righteous person, and he walks away from an old father. And the Gemara in Kiddushin, which is very well known, the Gemara brings and Daf Lamed. And Daf Lamed, Omed Beis. The Gemara brings just a minute. Lamed Aleph. The Gemara brings Boy Minei Maravula Ad Heichon Kibbur Av Ve'Em. They asked Ravulo, give us an example of how far one must go to give honor to their father and mother. Omelehem suruma osa ebi kochovim echod be ashkelein, bedome ben desine shmei. So the Gemara brings, we can learn this from a certain Roman, and his name was Doma ben Desina, who lived in Ashkelon. The Gemara now wants to bring from a Roman who was the seed of Esav, but that will learn Kibbur Av Ve'Em. And it brings a few stories. One time that the Chachomim they needed something, and they were willing to pay 600,000 pieces of silver for it. And he had it, but his father was sleeping, and his father's, and the key was in a chest where his father's feet were, and so forth. And he said, "I will not wake up my father," and he lost the sale because of it. And then another time, the Chachomim needed stones for the ephod, the precious stones for the garment of the Kohen Gadol, and they're willing to pay an enormous amount of money, 800,000 pieces of silver. And again, it was locked. This person had them, and it was locked in a chest, and he couldn't get to it without waking up his father. And he said, "I'm sorry, I will not do that," and he lost the sale. The next year was born to him as a reward of Por Aduma. In his herd was born a red heifer. And that was something very rare. The Chachomim came and they said, "We want to buy from you." So he said, "I know that if I'll ask for all of the money in the world, you'll have to give it to me because you need it. But I just want the money that I lost on that last sale." And this is what he got. And the Gemara brings one time he was sitting amongst Gedalei Remi. He was sitting at a banquet with the dignitaries of Rome, and his mother came, and his mother was somewhat insane, and she went up to him in front of everyone, and she insulted him, and she slapped him, and she embarrassed him. He wouldn't do anything. So the Gemara says, "Umami she'ena metzuba ve'eser." Here's someone who's not commanded, and this is what he does. So Yisrael, that's commanded, achas kama v'kama, how much more so? Now here the Maral says, why? Here we see again, it wasn't just Esav. This is a Roman that's a descendant of his. We find that the Goyim were always very, very scrupulous with this. He says, a very, very beautiful reasons. He says two reasons, but in their source they're very similar. Firstly, he says, the Chazal tell us we have two types of mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah that is known as a mishpat. This is not referring to the mishpatim before, but the mitzvah that is known as the mishpat. That's a mitzvah that the Chazal tell us, ilalei nichtav. Even if the Torah didn't give it to us, we would have established it. Doesn't mean that when we establish it, it's the same as the Torah. Because on that, what would we need the Torah for? It means these are such laws that even had the Torah not commanded us of them, we would ourselves have established these. These are laws which are very, very rational. And then there's a chok. Mitzvah, for example, you shouldn't steal. The Torah not commanded us. Civilization would have also put these into their laws. You should steal, you should murder. Kibud av ve'em is from the Mishpatim. Had not the Torah commanded us, we would have commanded ourselves. And this is the civilized manner a person should live in. And then there is a chok. A chok is brought kashrus, shkita, tzitzis, klein. These are things we would have never commanded ourselves had the Torah not given us, because they're not rational. They do not have the human rationale in it. The Maral brings that from the Mishpat that perhaps has the most human rationale in it is Kibbur Avim. The Seichel's Machayev one. It's a parent. It's an elder. They brought you into the world. They care for you. Seichel's Machayev. The rationale, the mitzvah that has perhaps the least rationale, human rationale, is the Por Aduma, the red heifer. And that even Shlomo HaMelech said, "Amati echkamo v'hirachek mimani." I thought I was wise, but I still cannot understand the rationale to it. We find that it states that before the giving of the Torah in Mora, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them cheku mishpot. He gave them a few mitzvahs before the giving of the Torah, Klal Yisrael. A chek and a mishpot, the Chazal say, what was the chek? The Por Aduma, the red heifer. What was the mishpot? Kibud Avim. Because one is the greatest chok and one is the greatest mishpot. At any rate, what do we see? we see that the mishpat, the kibbur av ve'em, is from the most rational mitzvahs. See, from the most rational mitzvahs, actually, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, he says in the second, by the Aseres HaDibros, the second time it's brought in Parshas Veskanan, there it states, Kabiles Avicho Vesimecho Kasher Tzivisicho. Give honor to your father and mother like I have commanded you. What is Kasher Tzivisicho? So he says, because give honor to parents, we would do anyhow. And the proof is, he says, because all the civilized nations do that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to give honor to our parents like I commanded you, not like your rationale commands you. So anyway, this is what we see. Now, we gave a whole series of shurim on this in the past, that this, that the human rationale decrees, this is known as Derech Eretz. This the Maral calls the Seichel HaTachton. This is the wisdom of this world. Kodesh Baruch Hu imbued a person with the wisdom of this world, and that he imbued all of the nations with. And that decrees that one should give honor to his parents. So that's the Seichel HaTachton. Torah, that's the Seichel HaElyon. Torah, that's the wisdom of higher worlds. We are given many mitzvahs, many things we're not given mitzvahs on, but we have to do them because the seichel's machayvet, human intelligence and intellect is machayvet, obligates one, decrees, that's derech eretz. Others we are given mitzvahs on, not only on those that are not included, but that would be derech eretz, but then it's elevated even to greater heights, where we have a whole shas on it, with Shulchan Aruch, with hundreds of halachos. That was given to Klal Yisrael. And those mitzvahs that derech eretz that became mitzvahs. Now, actually, when it comes to this world, the seichel of this world, Esav is greater than Yaakov. He's greater. Sometimes we wonder, we look at the nations of the world, look at the English, so look at the French, look at the Germans. Their wisdom of civilization is enormous, what they did. I'm not talking of the Torah, but their wisdom of civilization is enormous. What they built, what they created, their society, their protocol, everything. The massive cities and capitals and so on. Now actually the seichel of this world, when it comes to the rationale of this world, Esav is greater. Why? Because the Yisraitzitzu states that when Rivka were carrying the two, they were fighting. What were they fighting over? The Chazal said each one wanted both worlds. There were two giants, two empires. Yaakov wanted both worlds and Esav wanted both worlds. And this is what they were fighting over. When it came to the Nezid Adoshim, when Esav came and he told Yaakov, he says, what are you making? Bani Oyev, he was starved. It was that day he had killed Nimrod and he was starved. And he says, give me some of it. So he said, Yaakov says, I'll sell it to you for your firstborn birthright. So Esav says, Hini aleich anechi heilech lomus, I'm going to die. The lomus eli becheira, what do I need it for? So the Chazal tell us, this was not just a negotiation over a bowl of porridge. They were dealing in worlds. Yaakov told Esav, you have something I want. What was that? You're the firstborn. The firstborn has the skus, has the right to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before Shevet Levi and the Kahanim, this went to the firstborn. They lost it at the golden calf, but before it went to them, he says, that's what I want. He says, you want this porridge? Give that to me. So Esav says, what is it worth? He says, what is it worth? Gives you the right to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'll have world to come. He says, I am going to die in this world. I'm concerned with this world, not the world to come. He says, that's rubbish, that's baloney. I'm not interested in that. I don't even know if there'll be a world to come. I'm interested in this world. And here you're telling me about another world, and meanwhile, I might never see it. I'm going to die. So Yaakov says, you want this world? He says, yes. I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you the portage, and I'll give you my chelik in this world. And you give me your portion in the next world. So they made that deal. And that's why it states, Vayimko es Bechor Isai, he sold him his firstborn birthright, Vayives. He gave him the Adoshim Vayechal Vayesht, he ate and drank. And he went and he disgraced the firstborn birthright. It states, Mikan Kof Areso B'tchias HaMeshim. Here he denied that there'll be a next world. So they were not dealing in portage here, they were dealing in worlds. From this point on, Esav became the master of this world. Yaakov became the master of the spiritual world. And this is the constant struggle. And this is why Esav had so much success. Here's Malchus, because that's all success in this world. Spiritual success, that comes later. That'll come with the Melech HaMashiach. So therefore, when it comes to the rationale and the understanding of this world, actually Esav is greater than Yaakov. Because Yaakov lives in two worlds. He's got his feet in this world, but he's got his head in another world. This is why we find Esav and his seed became so great in the midst of Kibbur Aveim, because that's from the prime dictates of the seichel of this world. And this gives us an understanding why we see great nations. They weren't great in righteousness, but they were great. You think empires like Germany, and France, Vienna, Venice, Berlin, see what they achieved. The English Empire and so forth. Actually, the Queen is here today. See, the English Empire. Then there's a second interpretation, he says, which has a, they both have the same ultimate source. And that is that actually Klal Yisrael, a Yisrael cannot give honor to his parents the way Esav can. He cannot. Even though we are commanded on it. Because the Gemara brings, this is the same Gemara in Kiddushin, this is on Daf Lamed, the other is on Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says, Gimel Shutfin Bodem. There are three partners in man. Ovi Vimei V'Akorish Baruch Hu, his father, his mother, and Hashem. The father and mother give forth the physical elements. In other words, they give him the physical world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives forth the spiritual elements. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kabir Esavicha Vesimecho Ani Hashem. Give honor to them, but don't forget about me, Ani Hashem. If they tell you to go cook for them on Shabbos, no, Ani Hashem. Nothing doing. Kfeidi Kedem. My honor comes first. And that's why it's brought that Avedis is a mission in Bometzia. Avedis Ovi Vedis Rabbi, Avedis Rabbi Kedem. That if you find a lost article that belongs to your father or mother, and you find another lost article that belongs to your Rebbe, you must give back first the Rebbe. Why? Because the father and mother bring you into the physical world, but your Rebbe brings you into the spiritual world. So a Jew, a Yisrael, cannot give honor to his father and mother in totality, because Gimel Shutfin Bo'odem, he must share it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I commanded you to give them honor, but I also, Kabeid, I commanded you to give me honor. So he has to share it. And when he sees his father and mother, he also sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gimel Shutfin Bodem. There are three. But Esav doesn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he sees his father and mother, that's his whole entity. Because this is his whole world. He doesn't have another world. So he sees only the physical world, and he sees only the powers that brought him into the physical world, which is his father and mother. This that he's got to give honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this he's not Goris, that's not by him. And therefore, he can become Dovuk, he can bind himself in totality to his parents. And that's why he can fulfill this mitzvah even to a greater measure. This also helps us to understand further why there was such a strong bond between Esav and his father Yitzchok, even more than Yitzchok and Yaakov. So these are the two illustrations or the two explanations in this mitzvah where we find that Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, he kept the clothing in the house for another reason, not that he was afraid it'd be stolen, but because he said that when I serve my father, then I must serve him with big day malchus, see, in royal governments. This is the honor which is due to my father. So these are a few explanations on some of the points of this sedra.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.